have a couple of requests. Frederick, you want to pick up the mic and why don't you do it from... Oh, you can do this one. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Hello, everyone. Hello. My name is Frederick, and I'm the chair of the host committee, and I will welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you for the applause. I will talk more later, but I will only welcome you to Malmö and hope you have a pleasant visit until now, and it will continue like that. I will give you information about the activity tonight. Who have booked activity? Yes. It's number 11. And for you who had questions about the numbers, there are lists on the registration desk where which number it's which. And this is important. The buses leave the hotel 5:30. And it's outside the reception. So 5:30, the buses leaves. And then we are going to leave the place we are going to be at 11 p.m. Oh. I think you will be happy returning because of all the fun you have experienced on the activity. But I will say it once more before it ends, but it's very important that you are outside a hotel 5:30, because we have to leave then. So have a nice afternoon, and we will see you again. Yes. You will get more information on the bus, but I will tell you something. I will tell you something now. It starts with some activities that are you do if you want to do it. No one will force you. And the activities is outside. And it's maybe a half an hour, 45 minutes. And then you have to pay for all the drink you buy during the dinner. So if you want to buy something to drink, you have to take and take cards. That's the easiest way. If you want to, we won't stop you. I won't stop you. Of course, do you want to wear a bathing suit? No, fine. Any other questions? I tried to get extra places just 10 minutes ago, but the restaurant said no. So unfortunately. I will try once again in the afternoon. No, sorry, but it's not possible. Sorry.
Sure. Yes.
And there was one? No, we will back, depending on how good you are to get on the bus. We will leave at 11, that's planned, but maybe 5. It takes about 15, 20 minutes to go back, so.
Okay, Sharon?
Okay.
For the remote delegates, we ask that anyone that has a question to please use a microphone, because that's how the audio, they're able to hear the questions and any kind of motions or whatever. And so it's just as important that they hear people from the floor as the speakers. Thank you.
Thank you. And now I will leave it to the Greg, the word to Greg. Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Frederick. Thank you for all the great work you've done and your crew has done here. The host committee has done an outstanding job. Really feel welcomed here. I was remiss. There's a fellow sitting next to me that a lot of people don't know, and certainly the people on the remote can't see him and therefore don't know him. Miles from Canada is supporting us as a parliamentarian, and I really appreciate your support. So, had a request to explain for those that are unfamiliar some aspect of parliamentary procedure, and what happened during lunch was I had something to eat and swallowed whatever it was that was supposed to be going into my brain. So could you refresh me, my memory on what it is we're supposed to cover? Okay. Yeah, she's getting it.
Hi, Mybert here. I just know that we're on the European continent, and it keeps referring to Robert's Rules, and people just really don't know what Robert's Rules are. I know it's a set of parliamentarian rules that we follow at the ABC, but for those listening in, it might be good to have them explained. Thank you.
Okay, but as I recall, Mybert, you and Charlie and I talked, and there was something very specific in Robert's Rules that you said you wanted me to talk about in that context, and I don't remember what it was. You don't either?
Well, it's about motions and when you present the motions. And when you say according to Robert's Rules, then, you know, the people who don't know the Robert's Rules are at loss.
Great. Okay, thank you. So Robert's Rules is a set of procedures that was developed in the late 1800s and has been updated a few times since. The original fellow who wrote it, Major Roberts, is no longer with us. That's probably a good thing. And anyway, it was developed specifically, it's called parliamentary procedure because it was developed for the British Parliament. And he actually documented this over several years, did lots of revisions, and we are using the newly revised, which was in the 90s, as I recall, something like that. Maybe it's more recent. But anyway, what it is a coding of, because of the tendency of large groups to get out of hand with topics and managing meetings like Parliament or like the ABC, the goal is to have a codified set of guidelines for how you handle business that the organization wants to address. And in our case, this business translates into the motions that come before this board that are presented through the ABC and any additional business that we might want to take care of that's not just strictly under the board purview. A motion is simply a formal proposal, and I'm going to use that word differently than a proposal as opposed, that we send in for us. But it's a formal piece of business that is being entertained by the group. And so a motion is going to have very specific wording that goes to the effect that I move that, and sometimes it's because or to do. So it's to accomplish the solution to a specific problem, which should be mentioned in the motion or in the backup information about that motion. So if you can think about a motion as simply a task, a proposed task that we are discussing and voting on. In order for a motion to be accepted as a piece of business for this conference or any other organization that's using Robert's Rules, it must be formally proposed, and then it can't be just that, oh, I want to talk about XYZ, and off I go. It has to be presented as a proposed topic of discussion, followed by someone else who says that I second that motion, which means not necessarily that I agree that we ought to do whatever the motion is. So if the motion is, you know, we ought to hang the moon in the third quadrant tomorrow night, that I may not be agreeing that we ought to do that, but when I say I second the motion, I'm saying that this is something we need to discuss. And it may be, for the purposes of an organization like this, there are a lot of times when a motion is made and somebody says, we need to kill that, and therefore we're going to vote on it because we don't want people continually bringing it up. So I will second the motion even though I'm opposed to it. And then we go and have the discussion and we can vote it down. Sometimes that backfires, of course, and it actually gets approved contrary to the person that desired it. So that's in general what Robert's Rules are about. And if you could hold up the book, please, the little big brown book, I guess, or black.
2011.
That's 2011 is the printing of this. So it's probably got a bunch of revisions since the one that I'm using. All right.
Yep.
So just very quickly, are there any specific questions that come out of this that I can add to make people more comfortable? That includes our remote viewers or participants. Okay. Then we will move on. And thank you all for being in here very promptly. And we're ready to go with the DCOC, is that correct? I think. Yep, that's what's on my list. You ready to go, Bill?
Might as well, before I go comatose here for lunch.
Mike, Bill, Mike. Okay, not very many people got it.
I'm just making small talk for a second. They want to hear how good the hotel is and how good the food is here. Okay. And what a great job the host committee did getting it all together. That's for sure. Okay, the Distribution Center Oversight Committee is a committee, standing committee of the WSO organization that stems way back in the days when we didn't have a manager person in the office. We had staff, and at one point we did have a manager, but the organization was very small and couldn't employ a lot of full-time people at the time. So it evolved into a committee that has skills in technology or business experience in overseeing our publishing operation in the office, providing oversight. The committee is comprised of myself as chair, Jim B., who's back there on the computer, is the vice chair, and David McBee, that you saw give the secretary's report earlier, is in a position called the LOM, or the operations manager liaison to the board. David is the conduit that the board communicates with the office. And with this setup, we have had more success in the keeping the office operating efficiently and smoothly than we've ever had, I believe in WSO's history. So it was a wise decision by the board to integrate this structure. Moving on, I'm not going to say everything I said before, but anyway, I am Bill D., and I'm an adult child, and I'm glad to be here. A brief overview of the World Service Office and Distribution Center for those of you that may have never seen it or heard about it. It's a combined office and warehouse space, about 2,720 square feet. It is located in Signal Hill, California, which is about 20 miles south of Los Angeles, California. It has three full-time and one part-time employee at the office. Our office manager, our not office manager, our operations manager is Nick Calandrino. And Nick, would you stand up in the back, please?
Yay!
We have two other shipping and receiving people and an office manager that are there now holding down the fort, getting the orders out. And our part-time employee does accounting and sales reports and things like that, inventory reports, is Gloria, and she's out at the registration desk. If you, when you came in, she had the little laptop computer in front of her. She's done a lot of things. She's been involved in the ABC registration process since we've been doing the AWC. We have two part-time remote workers doing fellowship services and literature design. One of them is in is here. Is Lenny in the room? She's also a delegate. Lenny, please stand up. Lenny is the person that receives the emails from the information email address on the website. So if you click on the website to send us a message at information@, that's who will receive the email. And she lives in New York and works as a remote, a tele-remote worker. And our other person lives in Texas and is a editor, design editor for the literature committee, who does the layouts and the cover design, does a lot of graphic literary design and keeps track of all of our publications. So that's the people there. And our literature sales that I mentioned earlier in a report, you can go through shopadultchildren.com and Amazon to buy our books. You don't have to, have them shipped from the U.S. If you're in Europe, you can go on Amazon UK, and we have our core literature on there as well. Or you can get it from your intergroup. Or you can get it from right down the hallway. There is a room down there. I think it's Boulevard and 5. There's a bunch of tables and boxes of books in there that the host committee has ordered, pre-ordered, and they're willing and ready to sell those and bookmarks and all kinds of things. So it's right down the hall, Boulevard and 5. I don't know the hours of that, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be available anytime that we're up. Our next slide, let's look at our book sales real quickly for 2018. We had combined book sales of $914,756 in 2018. That's a late night editing error. That should say combined book and product sales. We also sell medallions and flyers and things like that, not just books. The English language book sales in 2018 were 56,867 units. The foreign language book sales were 4,040 units and growing strong. I know that we've got several orders in the pipeline right now that have been fulfilled, and some of them have been fulfilled in the last few months. So those numbers are going to continue to increase. The Amazon U.S. book sales were 19,637 units, up from 11,000. There's a two in there that shouldn't be in there. 11,394 in 2017. The Amazon UK book sales is also up considerably, proportionally. 1,408 units in 2018. That's up from 354. We just launched these two sites in 2017, so the numbers are going to be a little smaller during the initial run-up process. Total sales increased 22% for 2018 over 2017. This is a breakdown. The next slide is a breakdown of the type of book and how many were sold. The next slide is a break. There it is. You can see the legend behind Jim R's head there is the big red book is the red piece of the pie. There was 17,812 big red books sold in the English language last year. The second, that was number two. That wasn't the bestseller. The bestseller was the yellow or gold, which is the yellow workbook. The workbook has been our leading seller. The next book, yeah. That's good because we're doing the work. That means we're doing the work. Or somebody's getting their hands on the work. I don't know if they're doing it, but at least they're getting exposed to it. And you can see the greenish color is the soft cover meditation, I believe. The next one, the brownish one, is the hardcover meditation book, and then the laundry list workbook is the pink one at the top, 5307, I think, and then the soft cover red book is right next to the red, big red book at 4,475 units. It's an interesting breakdown, but it kind of confirms what we see in our sales. The next slide is the foreign language book sales for 2018. And like I said, this is probably going to double in 2019 because we're already 4 months into the year and we've already got that many books, I think, on order. So the Russian Big Red Book was the largest one. The Danish Big Red Book in the yellow gold at 550, and so for the Danish Yellow Workbook as well. It's being printed in Europe, and it's being printed in the Danish language. The Finnish Yellow Workbook was 500 units. Is there something missing? Yeah, there's one missing. It's the Castilian Spanish. It's off the legend. The Castilian Spanish is 440 units. Okay. We were talked about how fast things are growing. This is a 12-month, over 12-month sales for just Amazon U.S. And U.S. doesn't mean it only is selling in the U.S. Some of it goes to Canada. Some of it even comes over here. People go on Amazon U.S. and order stuff, and it comes over here. So, I mean, it goes a lot of places. But in quarter two, when we launched Amazon U.S., in quarter two 2017 through quarter one 2018, that's 4 months, I mean 4 quarters, 12 months, we had 11,239 units that were sold. The same 4 quarters in most recent history, we had 19,637 units. That's a 75% increase in year over year. That's an incredible increase. And that's the kind of stuff that the office and the board has been peddling as hard as we can to stay ahead of. Because we see it coming, but it's on us before we can actually do anything about it. It's already here. It's now. The next slide is the dollars. It's the same principle, but it's in dollars instead of units. You can see the 68% increase in dollars. The fees that Amazon charges, we much prefer people buy things through our office, because our shopping cart, because Amazon charges over 50% in fees. So that number that you see there is not anywhere near the number that comes into our bank account. Over 50%. So our gross sales for the last 4 years over all of our outlets, which is Amazon and the shopping cart, you can see Amazon started in 2017, as I said, the red portions of those two slides, of those two bars. So they're not over here in 2015 and 16 because they didn't exist. But we've increased our sales considerably over the last couple of years since we expanded with Amazon. This is the next slide, is a month by month Amazon U.S. revenue, U.S. dollars chart. You can see we started out at about $10,000 the first month we were on Amazon. And up there at the very top, we peaked out at over $30,000 a month in gross sales. So people ask us, why are we interested in selling on Amazon if they take so much in fees? Because it's putting our books in front of a lot of people that may not ordinarily find them. Can you imagine how many people go search for adult children on the web and that takes them right to our book on Amazon? I mean, they might not find our shopping cart for, you know, months, but they find this one. So I think that what is happening is people are buying books, they're looking at it, they're reading it, and they're saying, there's meetings. Where's their meetings? And then they look on their Google for meetings, and next thing you know, they're showing up at a meeting in your town with a book, and they already got the book. So I think it's driving people to us. This is a snapshot of the outside of our office. It's a terrible snapshot. Who put that dark photograph in there, Bill? I didn't. Anyway, we have two bays in an industrial park in Signal Hill, Adult Children World Services. The next slide is the main door. It's got 1458 on it. That's our address. This next slide is our office crew. Yay. We have Nick, the operations manager, back in the back of the room, is here. The other two, Jose and Kira, are in the office filling orders as we speak. I guarantee, well, maybe. No, it's still, no, it's 9 hours difference for them. Yeah, it's only 6 hours from where I live. Okay, moving on. This is a quick snapshot of some of the inventory. You can see what we do. We bring it in pallets. We stack it on racks. They open those cartons, and if it's an intergroup order, they just take the whole carton and stick it on the order, and out it goes. But if it's an individual order, they have to open the cartons. There's another shot of some more of the warehouse space. We got dollies. We even have a forklift now to reach up there and get those big pallets of books. Steps to ensure that WSO continues to meet the fellowship and literature needs. How can we do that? We can continue to respond to and meet the needs of the fellowship by anticipating needs and providing timely responses. And that's what that's the challenge for us, is to anticipate what's coming down the road. As a result of this conference and this convention, how much growth is there going to be in Europe? We don't know until you go back home and spread the word and people start coming into the fellowship. We don't know. The second one is continue to assess the capacity of the existing warehouse versus the sales growth and determine if a larger space for inventory is needed. We just moved a few years ago. We had half the size office warehouse that we have now. And that was what, Mary Jo, two years ago? Yeah, 2 years ago. And our lease is coming up for renewal next year, and we got to make a decision. Is that going to be enough space for us, or are we going to need to do something else? And we won't know until we look at some more sales numbers and see what the increase is going to be. We can only fit so many books in there. Third, continue to fund foreign literature publishing efforts. Yes, we want to do that. Why? Because there's adult children over here on this side of the pond that need this literature. You know, they need it in every country, not just Europe, but they need it in Australia, they need it in Africa, they need it in Siberia, you know. I want to go to Siberia for an ABC. I heard that it's really hot in palm trees there, is that right? Improve our inventory management system, you know. We want to be able to get ahead of this curve where we've got so many book orders going out that it takes 3 months to get an order of 10,000 books printed and delivered to our office. So we have to plan 3 months ahead. We don't want to make a mistake and not be planning and have run out of books. We don't want to do that. That's not good. Continue to support our employees by being good employers. You know, we want our people to know that they're working for a world-class company, corporation, as well as a fellowship services organization. It's a 12-step organization, but part of it is business. You can see that now today, right? You can see that we have a business side and we have a fellowship side, a 12-step organization. We have the spiritual and we have the financial. We have the corporation that funds all of this. So until we become self-supporting with our own contributions, we're going to need to be good stewards of the business and to provide good workplace for our employees. We're back to my sentence that I can't say, but talk. Any questions? You have a remote question.
No, just a comment and a correction. It was requested to mention Robin as the name of our literature remote worker.
Oh,
who's from Texas. So thank you, Robin, for all the work that you do. She's not here. And just to mention that our website is a .org. So we're adultchildren.org and shop.adultchildren.org. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. And Robin, I'm so sorry. I thought I mentioned your name. Any other questions?
Thanks, Josh from Intergroup 626 in Washington, D.C. Yeah, sure. Got it? Okay. So I heard what you were saying about, you know, Amazon and that we get less of it because they take such a big cut. But at least we're getting some exposure to people who need it. Has there already been thought given to, like, search engine optimization so we can shift the traffic that we could? So when people get the Google search, they're more likely to go to the thing where we're not going to encounter those high fees?
Yes, that topic was discussed at the strategic planning session of the board on Monday and Tuesday quite a bit. All it takes, Josh, is some manpower. The board members have been stretched pretty thin, but that's no excuse. We're going to stay up later and burn the midnight oil and get that search engine optimization done.
And is that something where volunteers might be helpful?
I would think so, Charlie. What do you think?
An opportunity?
If I may put a pitch out for everybody in the room, are there people here who do search engine optimization? Well, we'll go elsewhere. but truly, a lot of things come up all day long, 2 days in a row. I think somebody's being volunteered back here in the third row. But there are needs happening that are getting referenced every hour for two straight days. And we know there's a tremendous range of gifts around this room. We also know there's a tremendous amount of commitment in this room because you're all here. The one thing I would urge everybody to be aware of is if you hear something and you think, I can do this, come up and talk to, like, Bill in this case or whoever's up in the front of the room. There's also a room down at the end of the hall where the literature is, where there's also a service table. And I cannot tell you how powerfully our organization has been changed in the last few years. I'm going to actually point out one person as an example of this thing, how powerfully our organization has been changed in the last few years. Because people who came as delegates said, I can help you. And I guarantee you what we say is, we can use your help. So, and ACAs are bad at asking for help. But if you hear something and you can do it, we urgently welcome your help. And I'd like to point out one person, Alexia. I hope this will not embarrass you by asking you to stand. Alexia is from Germany. In a former life, and I guess a current life also, a publishing professional. We had, and I'll talk about this more tomorrow in my literature report, tremendous backlog problems getting European language translations done. In a matter of 6 or 7 months, we are caught up on most of our backlog. Those of you who are buying your Swedish language yellow workbook for the first time, please give a round of applause to Alexia. She really made this happen. I won't embarrass Alexandria for this. She's from Germany. She already was the German language translator, but she was a volunteer, and she said, there's a problem here, I can help. And it has made a huge difference to everybody, including those of you in this room. So thank you very much, Alexia.
You're so
much. Okay, very good. That's too much embarrassment. Back to the
okay.
Any other questions?
Yeah. Go ahead, Jim.
Jim B. in the back.
Yes, I wanted to speak to some of this as well, and I thank Charlie for the excellent example that we don't have to do everything ourselves as volunteers for free. It actually goes, I think, hand in hand with the being self-supporting, but that doesn't mean that we have to volunteer all of our professional help for free. So, and that we shouldn't be afraid to spend money as long as we spend it wisely. So in an area like SEO, it's okay to spend money to hire a professional because it is a fast-moving thing, and we want to do it right. So I am have probably been hesitant to take on too many projects, but I also am a developer, so I want to fix stuff and do it myself. But it's a balance, and we have spent money to do things, and so. SEO and other things maybe, to go get a professional. So if you have experience here or you know someone who could help us, that's great. But if we don't, we're going to hire someone and spend our money wisely because, it's to help the fellowship. So thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. Yes, Nick?
Yeah, I'm David, 134 Florida and board member. I just wanted to point out in the service room back there, there is a chart that shows many of our committees and the talent we need on those committees. So if you have some of those talents in the time, or you know somebody who has those talents in the time, and there's an email address for each one of those committees. So we need all the help we can get. Obviously, you see that. So thank you.
Thank you, David. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Yes, Kadrita. Microphone.
How much is about that what you have sold? How much is electronical books, electronical ACA material?
The e-books, yeah, the way that they are distributed, it's not easy to get the numbers. They come in from all around the world, and they're scattered, so I don't really know what percentage of that is e-books. I could tell you the dollar amount that we receive, if that's important.
You don't need it. I was just curious, because, and I think this electronical version, all of those books are needed, because most meetings groups, they don't have money for shipping. Shipping is very expensive, even from Amazon. So, yeah.
So, on the income statement, which was on page 7 of 22 in the very back of the book, we have ebook royalties. We received $23,000 last year for ebook sales. The Yellow Workbook is not an ebook, but the Red Book is, and the Meditation Book. What am I missing? Yeah, the meditation. Strengthening My Recovery. Those are the two ebooks, and we got $23,000 in revenue off of those last year. Any other questions? All right, I'm done, I promise. Done for the day. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill. Thank you very much. So we keep brushing against service and follow up David's comment. Jody just walked out of the room. Oh, no, she's here. Okay, good. This is Jody. She's on the nominating committee. She's also been Hancha? The person sitting at the desk, the service opportunities desk back there in our room, and drop by and see her on a break. You know, there's like has been said, if you know somebody, put your name down on a list and just say you think you know somebody that you think might be able to serve in a particular capacity. Not that you're going to get hounded, but we have a way of reminding you then that, okay, you said you know somebody, have you checked? And we're not going to keep asking you over and over again, but I know, you know, I'm one that I'll say, yeah, I'll do that. And somewhere between my saying, yeah, I'll do that, and my calendar, there's some sort of break, and I need some reminders sometime. And so, you know, that's why we suggest that. Okay. So next on the agenda is the ABC committee.
Jim, is it okay if I'm putting up your kind of your category page on the service website up? Let me know if that's distracting. I'll take it down.
Microphone.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. And it might be a good reminder that at the bottom of this page, and this is reflecting the ACAWSO.org website. At the bottom there, it says delegate. Well, now it's at the top. Delegate binder of the 2019 ABC. It's possible to find this online. So, if you and download it. So, if you're at home and you are, hopefully, you figured it out by now. But you can follow along with what's being presented from the binder on your own laptop, computer, or phone. And that goes for people in the back of the room as well. Annual Business Conference Committee Report. Hi, my name is Jim, and I am the outgoing chair of the Annual Business Conference Committee, the ABC Committee. There's a lot of information in here in the book that I'm not really going to go over. It's pretty self-explanatory as to what it is that we do. Additionally, at the same website, can I get a show of hands of people that have been to this website? Okay, that's good. I'd say like 70% of the room. On the ABC category, there are reports that I just mentioned the delegate binder, and there's the annual report that I'm presenting now, and that is in the binder is there. But you can also find monthly reports, not only for this committee, but for all the committees, where there's a teleconference meeting, so you can keep up to date with what's going on with different committees monthly, if you want to. And so this, what you're seeing in front of you on page 58, is the culmination of what's happened in the past 12 months. And the big changes for looking forward, a big change this year is, a big item on our plate, so to say, is finding a committee to graciously host the ABC. And it's usually linked with an intergroup, possibly a region, and it's a little daunting. Because the way the program had been set up before, we send out an announcement. Hello, world. Who would like the ABC to come to your town? And then we sit back expecting all sorts of responses. Sadly, we are often mistaken. And months go by, and then it's like, oh, no, now what do we do? So we're changing this policy to actually reach out to intergroups that show some activity and promise and ask them if they would consider being a host, say, within the next 3 years or so, and start a dialogue with these groups, which seems a lot more proactive, a lot more secure, because we're not going to let months go by thinking, oh, someone's going to write, and then no one does. So this is a new process that we're sort of inaugurating. This does not mean that some incredible group off in some incredible corner of the world can't say, hey, we want to do it. That's welcome as well. And so that's sort of the big thing on the plate. As I said, I'm stepping down, and who is standing up to take the reins is Erin D, and she has been the delegate training subcommittee chair for 2 years. Vice chair 2 years, 1 year as a chair. So she has a lot of experience with the ABC because it's all kind of interlinked. Additionally, if this idea of hosting is ringing any bells, or if you're interested in pursuing that, just learning a little bit more, you're more than welcome to talk to me. And I'm also volunteering the services of Frederick, who's not in the room right now, because he is the host of this wonderful event. And additionally, she doesn't know it, but now she knows it. Sue V from Toronto did an incredible job putting together the last year's ABC and AWC. So, along with Miles, our silent parliamentarian, and so they were, I'm sure, quite available if you have questions on what's required and. Please approach them, and myself as well. Are there questions? Because I really don't want to go into reading the material. That's thank you.
Question, but do you have support? I'm Tracy. I'm from Rhode Island and Group 1008. Do you get support, like when you volunteer for this, from the is there help?
Oh, yes, there okay, is. All right. And more and more help each year. I mean, this the scope of this event began only 4 years ago in Del Rey. That was the first convention that was linked with a conference. So, and that has just mushroomed in scope. And we are, the WSO is sort of like saying, how does this work? Because we also are kind of making it up as we go along, and we're now putting it more, making it more codified and allocating responsibilities and such. So you will have guidance if you are interested. What we are most looking for is a volunteer force and enthusiasm, which is not, you know, that's not a big requirement, I don't think. Because we can usually find in any location the appropriate hotel facility.
I have another question. How about how many people do you need to do this, to put on a convention like this? What's a realistic number?
Again, it's changing. Last year we had for the World Convention, maybe Sue might know number-wise the number of attendants.
Hi, I'm Sue. And volunteers, you know, you need to really look at structure. You get tremendous support, okay? There's lots and lots of support all over the place. Miles and I probably had 15 sort of sub-teams, leaders, if you will. Out of that, probably 6 to 8. It's your core volunteers that are going to help plan and strategically do it. And then the big number for volunteers is on getting closer to it on the day. And I think we had close to 80 volunteers because a lot of them were doing pieces of it because they all wanted to be participating in the convention as well. So they were doing an hour here, 2 hours there. So you had to have a multiplier there. I hope that helps. But I would say one more thing. That we when we did it, we had no clue what we were really getting into. We just went with the flow, and I had this expression that we were going to be our own inner loving parents as we're doing it. And we're flying this airplane and building it at the same time, because that's how it felt. But I got to tell you, there was a lot of support. And after the convention was over, the volunteers were exhausted. They needed a lot of rest. But I got to tell you, and Miles will tell you this too, there's been a surge of service coming out of them now because they saw the value of so many people. I think we had close to 340. They saw the value of so many people in a room that they could identify with and got support. And so they're stepping up more in service. So huge benefit.
Thank you. And so, thank you. And so, to underline that, it's more than just putting on an event. It supports the groups within your area. So, any other questions? Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. And. To underscore the business about service, that sounds like a lot of people, but let's go back 4 years ago, so that would be essentially 5 ABCs ago. We hosted the ABC. We didn't have the World Convention at the same time. And Bonnie, how many volunteers did we have? Yeah, we had 15 on paper, but I think it was more like 8 or 9 were seriously active. And we had most of the attendance at that meeting, most of the delegates came from, we had no remotes, and we had delegates that came from Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, and Austin, not from around the world. And I think that at any point in time, we didn't have more than about 25 people sitting in the room. Delegates. So you can see the growth. This is like the growth in the literature portion as well. And so again, you know, the volunteerism is what helps this program grow. So, all right. Next on the list is the ballot preparation committee.
One thing. Hello again, everyone. I am Mary Jo, and I'm an adult child, and this is
Bonnie K.M., an adult child.
We are co-chairs of this committee, and we've been working together on this for a few years now, actually, and the other member of the committee is Jim R. What this committee does is get ready for requesting proposals from the fellowship, whatever people think is something that they want World Service to pay attention to or to do or change or whatever, and then submit them in the form of a proposal. And then, this is spontaneous. Then actually what we do is we take those, and in some cases we have to get some clarification from the submitting groups, but we take those and we start to formulate suggested WSO analysis, and then we go to the board and we clarify whether they agree with that. In other cases, we also actually go directly to the board and say, write the analysis for this one. Committees of the board, not directly to committee members, our board members rather. And so once those are all done, and in the meantime, if there's a group throughout the world that speaks a different language and they want to translate them, they're free to do that. If they want it put on SurveyMonkey, we need to know that too, because we will do that. And then once we have all of that information gathered, then it gets put together in the form of the ballot, which you all are, most of you got in January, and then groups vote on the proposals that are on the ballot to determine what goes on the agenda at the ABC. So it's pretty simple. Not easy, but it's a simple process. And our work is sort of sporadic. We have like several months where we do nothing, and then suddenly we have a lot to do. Does anybody have any questions about the ballot process? The ballot committee and what we do and, you know, how we got here and so on. Good. Pardon me? Okay. Jim, yes.
Can you explain why there's a difference? Jim B. from Florida 176. First time I did it right. Can you explain why there's a difference in the threshold of a two-thirds majority for a proposal passing and only a simple majority for it when a proposal gets converted into a motion and a simple majority to pass at the ABC?
Because decisions are made by the people who show up.
Hold the mic close. Hold the mic.
Because decisions are made by the people who show up. And that's true in every part of life.
Okay. The reason for two-thirds threshold for it to become an agenda item, that's been in the documentation for as long as I can find. And I believe the reason for that is that there's no real control over who's submitting those proposals, submitting a ballot and voting in a ballot. And this sort of, the two-thirds rather than just a simple majority sort of takes into account it accounts for anything that's sort of not kosher or above board. I don't know. It may not be a good reason, and this certainly can be changed. The board can decide to change this to a simple majority for what gets on the agenda, but for now, that's it. And I can't give you the complete reason for it because none of us were part of it when that was decided, but we've kept it going at that point with that. Okay. Bonnie thinks we might have borrowed that from AA. Oh, and David says no. So never mind.
Any other questions? Oh, go ahead.
Yes. We have Des.
Des.
Oh, no, somebody's.
Hi, Des, DC 008.
Mm-hmm.
on the ballot proposals, what happens to the ballots that don't make the two-thirds majority?
They simply fall away. Nothing is done with them.
Okay, so in the process of right of petition, there's no way to basically ask for those consideration or to have a minority report or to have some strong comment on bringing those back onto discussion?
No, there's no process in place for it now. The comments about that people submitted when they filled out their ballot, or groups filled out their ballot, those I believe we posted on the repository. Did they get on there? Do you recall?
We have the comments.
For all of them?
We received all the comments on all the proposals, and we had the numbers of the total voting, and we put in the binder the proposals that passed along with the comments. We were like this close to putting everything online, and I'm not sure that we did.
Yes, but we did.
We did?
We did. I saw online, I don't remember where it was, but I saw online the report that said, here are the comments that were associated with all of those.
You can find them online.
Thanks. My concern more is that we basically, without any discussion, eliminate those proposals completely. There's no chance to voice an opinion on those. Oh, and if you do a two-thirds cut on it, then that's a pretty significant cut. Out of 14 ballots, only two made it onto the agenda. Mm-hmm. So there are 12 ballots, the majority, which there's no discussion, there's no thought further on.
I think, Charlie, did you want to make a comment about that, or you do have different? Okay, if you want to go ahead, we'll...
There's one important point that I think sometimes gets lost at the ABC. This is one way of getting action to move forward, coming to the ABC through this process. It's not the only way, and I would actually even say it's not the main way to get business done. We have a monthly call. Anybody can call in on it. There's a time for comments by any member, so things can be suggested for action that way. And I actually want to point to one example of one that did not make it through this ballot threshold, which we may well be examining the number of whether two-thirds is the right number. But basically, there was one motion for an ACA Bill of Rights. That did not make it here to Sweden, but in fact, we already have a working group developing an ACA Bill of Rights, which was beginning about that time. So there are ways to reinitiate something next month, the next 2 months, actually talking to any of us on the board, even if it has been the judgment of the fellowship not to to bring it before us. And then lastly, I will say, something you may consider, Des, is there's a floor motion process that might not get to the attention of the, not rise to getting voted on tomorrow, but there is a way of actually even reinitiating something here, and I'd be happy to talk to you about that offline.
One other thought is that, if a proposal didn't make it onto the floor this year, you might examine how it was written. And maybe the case wasn't made well enough. Maybe it should be re-examined, and somebody could propose it again for the following year. It's another option. And what?
Yeah, David, 134 Florida. There's also the point of if things don't even make the ballot, if they're really a good idea, we'll be looking at it anyway on the board. And actually, a lot of the ones that were proposed this year are things we're working on. They didn't make the threshold, but that doesn't mean we're going to stop working on it because they were, they've been in a process of working on things. There's a saying, AA moves glacially. We may be more of a faster glacier, but not a whole lot. But, any good idea gets considered whether or not it makes it to the floor of this event. So we encourage that. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Hi, everyone. Jeannie, Florida, IG 650. So I'm very interested in Proposal 8 that I wrote for changing the name to Adult Children Anonymous. And I'm just curious, I think what I read is that it needed 147 votes and it got 120. I was wondering if I could get a little clarity about what that means.
It means that out of all of the votes that were either yeses or noes, that of the total, it needed two-thirds of that number to be considered for the agenda here. And that number, that two-thirds number, was 147.
Okay.
But it only received yes votes, 100, what did you say, 120 yes votes. Okay. And so that means that it was 23 shy of getting enough yes votes.
So I think maybe David answered my question. There might still be hope for that as a possibility.
Anything's possible.
That's how we roll. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thanks, Jeannie.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Okay. Oh, Josh.
So, just as a hypothetical, let's say there was an item that didn't make the two-thirds, but I personally felt really strongly about that item. Could I bring it to the floor? I think I've heard yes already. First part is, how exactly do I do that, and is there a time cut off to do so? And number two is, I heard that of those submitted on the floor, only those that are considered time sensitive will be considered. How is that determination made and by who?
I can handle that. Okay. The two parts to that. First of all, if you want to resubmit that and you want it during this time period, then the way to do that is submit a motion. And as I said earlier this morning, we request, if at all possible, because that's what we're recommending, we recommend that you get that in by noon tomorrow. There's a process on the ABC website, not the ABC website, but the ACA website, and it's right here. And when that is submitted, we will then look at that, and in the order of submission, we'll come to the delegates, and I didn't give the details this morning because there wasn't time, but we have a process where the delegates will determine, is this time sensitive? And if it is determined by this group that it's time sensitive, then we will go ahead and address it. Now, the risk that you're running by bringing something in that has been voted down in the ballot process is, you know, it could be that it ends up more toward the end. We might decide that there are time-sensitive things that we need to work faster than that, and that's up to the delegates in here, okay? And we have a process that the delegates will make that decision. Yep. Anything else?
I just want to point out that there was one proposal that suggested that motions from the floor circumvented the whole process. And that proposal didn't make it onto the floor. But there's that was a concern with a lot of people. But a lot of proposals, several proposals didn't make it to the floor because people, when they read everything, they decided, and my groups were part of this, when they decided that it's already being worked on, so what's the point of talking about it here? And so they didn't make it. Okay, and that there were several, I think, that fall in that category. And if there hadn't been an indication that they were being worked on already, they probably would have made it onto the agenda. So, okay. Mm-hmm. Any other questions before we, or did you have a comment, Bonnie?
Yes. I also wanted to point out that rather than trying to do something through a proposal, that you approach whatever committee handles that, and you might get some results faster that way than waiting to submit a proposal and have it go through the whole process, when not everything we do requires a vote by this body, okay? A lot of things happen at the committee level, and we have a much better committee structure in place now doing work. So, you know, you don't have to wait for this. You can approach any of the committees, and that's why we have listings of what the committees are all over the place now. I mean, and as a process stands now, any group can submit a proposal no matter how ridiculous. I use an example of somebody wants us to make the King James Bible a conference-approved literature. Well, we'll put that out there, but I don't think it'll get the votes, and then we can bring it to the floor, and I still don't think it would get the votes. So, you know, this process can be taken to the wrong extreme, and that's why the WSO creates an analysis. How would it affect the fellowship as a whole, and how would it affect available resources? My points. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie. Okay, anyone else? All right, that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. By the way, we do have some remaining of the T-shirts that Bonnie is modeling here from the 2015 ABC. If you are interested, see me, and we can make an arrangement. Realize that they're going to be collector's items in about another 57 years. Yes, that's right. That's promotion, yes. Outside interest. Okay.